Well, good evening, everybody, and welcome
Love Talk
to the
Radio.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Edge Portal. We're going to have Augusto and Larry on tonight. We're going to talk about Augusto's latest vision. So, Augusto, you want to lead us off with some prayer to begin?
Amen. Amen. Father, I just thank you tonight for allowing me, Lord, and Larry, Lord, to be with Dorothy, Lord, once more, Lord, in doing this program. I pray, Father, that there be anyone out there, Lord, that does not know you, that is backslidden, that is not in communion with you tonight. I pray, Lord, that through this message, through this program tonight, you will draw him or her closer to you tonight, and you will cause him or her to be saved. I pray, Father, that you would cause many, Lord, to be strengthened in their faith, that you would cause many, Lord, to get closer to you as a result of this program tonight. I pray, Father, that an anointing upon this program. I pray, Lord, against any interference, any powers of the enemy, Lord, that comes to interfere, Lord, in this program tonight. Father, I pray that that power will be bound in the name of Jesus, Father, and the power of the Holy Spirit be released tonight in the name of Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, that your angels, Lord, be moving about, Lord, just touching people, Lord, and just doing warfare against the powers of the enemy, Lord, that are seeking to interfere tonight. So I praise you, Father, for what you have done, for what you are about to do tonight, and I thank you for what you're going to do in the future. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we give you all the glory, Lord, for everything. Amen. Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen.
Welcome, Daniel, to the show.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
Good to hear you.
How are you?
Good. Good to see you. Hear your voice again.
It is good to hear your voice, too. You know, Dorothy, you emailed me and asked me for your views. You asked me to come in early, and I was supposed to be in on the second hour, and you asked me to come in an hour early because Larry was having technical difficulties, and I got the end of Augusto's prayer as far as the enemy trying to hinder us. And wouldn't you know it, just before I went to call myself, I had technical difficulties. So he is active, but he's also defeated. Amen?
Absolutely.
Amen.
Absolutely. He's defeated, and he knows it.
That's right.
And, you know, we need to exercise our kingdom privileges, and that is to pray and bind, you know, bind and loose. And Scripture says, everything you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and everything you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And if two or more of you agree on this, it shall be done. Amen, of my Father in heaven. So, absolutely, I do believe in prayer, Daniel, and I do believe in the power of prayer in God's people. And, boy, do we need to be praying nowadays, don't we?
That is absolutely right. Augusto, I caught, I didn't listen to you live when you were with Larry on another show early in the week. And
mm-hmm.
I talked to Larry yesterday, and he said to me, Daniel, did you listen to Augusto and I? And I said, no. I was honest. I said, no. You know, I was going to get to it later to listen to the archives, but I hadn't had a chance to. He said, you really need to listen to that show. And I said, okay, that sounds good. So last night I did indeed listen to the show that you were on with him earlier in the week. And frankly, Augusto, I was blown away by the vision and the vision or the dream that you had. I don't know if you spoke about it on Dorothy's show. Hi, Dorothy, by the way.
Hi, Daniel. No, we haven't reviewed the vision yet, and I'm thinking that maybe Augusto should start off with a reading of that. What do you think?
I think that's absolutely appropriate. And I was just going to say, Augusto, when I heard that vision, I was blown away because, we'll talk about why because later. But if you would, sir, could you relate what the Lord showed to you for the audience, please?
Sure, absolutely. Well, you know, this is experience came about. I was not thinking about it. I wasn't at all thinking about it. I haven't thought about this for a long, long time. It was just one of those things, you know, in God's times, you know, in God's Kairos time, he just deemed fit to give me this experience. And what it was, I don't know what it was. I was sharing with Larry that I thought it was a vision. But, you know, I have had enough of these experiences, you know, whether they be dreams or visions of the night or, you know, or this particular experience I had, that this one, I don't really know what it was, because I was there. I was there. I was a part of it. And it was so real to me that, you know, sometimes I wonder if I was really there, because I wasn't seeing this. Usually when people have a vision, they see it like on a movie screen. You know, they see things. This particular event, I was there. I was really having this experience with this group of men. And I'm going to call them men because, you know, they must have been, I guess, some type of angelic beings. I don't know. But they looked like men to me. They had no wings or anything like that. They just looked like normal men. But it was a setting was like in a very well-lit room. It looked like a library type of place. It had wall-to-wall bookcases. They were full of books. All kinds of documents, and there were some tables in the room, and a group of men that were there. I knew this group of men was there to explain things to me. They were like, you know, sharing things with me from different sources. One was sharing like certain things, you know, on a certain topic. Another one was sharing certain things on another topic. There were maps opened. There were documents, very old documents that they were showing me with facts. They were full of facts and information, and all this thing was being downloaded onto me. I, you know, as I look back, I don't think they were really talking to me. I don't recall them talking to me, and yet I heard them. So, in the spirit, when you're in the spirit, I have heard many people that have had out-of-the-body experience and have been to heaven and so forth, that when they talk with others there, they just use telepathy. They don't use words. They don't speak things like we do here on the earth. And this is the way it was there. I just received this information from this man, and yet I didn't see them speaking to me. They were just telling me things, and very fast. It was a fast download. It was so fast that I cannot remember all the details, but I was given a lot of details. Basically, what this was about was they were showing me how, the plans and the processes and the history of the elite, this group of people that have been on Earth for a long, long, long time. They are the seed of the devil, okay? According to the parable of Jesus Christ, Yeshua, when he says, you know, that the tares are of the enemy, and he planted them in the garden of the Lord. He planted them there. So they are the tares and the wheat. So these are the tares. These are the children of the devil, that they have been here for such a long time doing their father's work. And there, the wisdom and the intelligence of these entities, according to the plans that were being shown to me and downloaded to me, was so incredibly brilliant and wise that I was astounded. I was astounded at it all, at how these things were brought about, and how every plan, every detail were, you know, carefully planned so that the outcome would be exactly what they wanted. And I saw how they manipulated people, how they, pressured people, how they, you know, threaten people. I mean, whatever it took, or killed the people, whatever it took to get their plans, you know, to bring about their plans, they achieved it. I mean, flawlessly. And this is what really just blew me away, was the fact that how accurately and how precisely these people were able to operate throughout the, you know, throughout the years, throughout the, centuries. And so they, this man began to show me methodically how these people were behind most of the important events that have historically transpired on the face of the earth. And this was all containing maps and strange-looking documents that they had before them. These documents and books were laid out on the tables there where we were. And so I was shown in with great detail how they have done this, and as well as the events in America, here, in Europe, and many parts of the world, how they did this to achieve their ultimate goal of total world power and world control. Now, as I was experiencing this, and I was being shown these things, and I was paying attention closely, one of the men came towards me, okay, basically like interrupting everything, like it was time, okay, like I had seen enough, and I had heard enough, and he approached me, and this is what he said, and this was very loud, and this I remembered, because this was the last thing said to me right before I was out of that place. Okay, I came back to my senses. I was awakened, and this is what he said: there is going to be a revolution in America, and it will usher in a new world order. As soon as I heard this, it was like this was the trigger, mechanism. Okay, you know, mm-hmm. like when somebody is in the like when somebody is in a state of stupor, okay, and somebody is talking to them, and all of a sudden, you know, there is a trigger word, and they wake up. Well, that is what happened to me. As soon as this was said, I woke up. I came out of that experience. I was there laying on my bed, and I was startled. I was startled by what I had just experienced. And many of the pieces of this puzzle that I had, you know, I had many pieces of the puzzle, and many of the things that I was shared that night, it began to come together. Somehow it began to come together, and things really started to make sense to me now. Why many things are happening, and why many things are, you know, have taken place. So one of the things that I was shown, and
before you mm-hmm. go on, Dorothy,
yes.
I'm calling you on a different line. This call is me, so if you
yes.
pick that up for me, please.
On the area code 209?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm sorry,
okay.
Audience. It's not area code. I'm sorry. It's not area code 209.
Okay.
Wow.
Okay.
It's not working. I'm trying to call you on this other line. That would be clearer. And it's just.
Okay. Well, let's continue. And I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Augusto.
Yeah. And then you can work on the kinks there. So, anyways, as this began to happen, okay, what the Lord showed me was that the communists and the jihadists, the Islamic jihadists, you know, they have placed deep within this nation, okay, strategic places throughout the country, okay, communists, socialists, Islamic jihadists, and they are there for a reason. They are there for a reason. These people have placed them there for a reason, for a time, for a specific time. And, in past years, I have had other experiences where the Lord has shown me, you know, I had a particular experience where I was in a Islamic jihadist training center, and that is, you know, that I have shared that before in some programs. So I'm not going to get
a
into
vision.
It. But
you had a vision,
yes.
Of being.
Yeah, actually, it was the same type of experience. I was there, and I was there. I was literally there, in their midst, And I saw everything. I was hearing everything. And but anyways, I began to realize that these things have been happening now for a long time. And what the Lord has been showing me, you know, it's like a tapestry that has been so finely woven together by these people of what it is going to happen. And one of the things that the Lord was impressing on me during this experience was that when this revolution happens, okay, the American people should not take that bait. They should not become involved, as this is exactly what the enemy wants them to do. This is exactly what these people want them to do. The trap has been set, and they are going to spring it up, and they're going to try to get the American people involved, okay, so that then they have a reason to to bring about their new world order. They know one of the key phrases that they use is ordo ab chao, which is order out of chaos. And this is what they want exactly. They want a chaotic situation in this nation, because they know that as long as this nation is standing, the new world order cannot be ushered in. So the dollar has to be destroyed, okay? The dollar has to be wiped out, destroyed. The dollar is being methodically, okay, carefully been dismantled, okay? Mm-hmm. That is why it has been weakened. That is why it purposely. This is not by chance. This is not by being stupid or by, not knowing what they're doing. They know exactly what they're doing. They want to weaken the dollar to the point where it is worthless, so that the economic power that was the United States is dismantled, okay? Then secondly, this is what they want to do. What the Lord showed me was that they're wanting to bring about this chaos and to provoke and bait the American people into a revolution so that they can't handle it anymore. They can't take it, and they're just going to, they're going to swallow it line, hook, and sinker. And so when this happens, it's going to give them the perfect alibi, the perfect reason to bring about their martial law, the new world order, and just really, usher this thing in. So I was very, very strongly impressed that the American people must not allow this to happen. They must not buy into it. And so this is a spiritual battle that cannot be won in the flesh. It can only be won in the spirit. So Yahushua, Jesus Christ, is the only one who can deliver, and he will deliver his people. He is the King of Heaven. He is the great general. He is he's never lost a war. And so he is going to save his people. And so anyone that is listening out there, that you need to really be able to exercise self-control, discernment as to what is the word of the Lord that he gave me. For some reason he gave me was to share it for the people, because this thing could be imminent. Now, when this is going to happen, I don't know. I don't know what month it's going to happen. I do know it is close. It is not years away. It could be months away. And so the people need to be very careful how they react to whatever happens during these presidential elections, because there's going to be many, people out there, provocateurs, agents that are going to try to bait the American people to do this. And the American people must exercise extreme discipline, extreme self-control. And the scripture that the Lord gave me, Daniel, is from the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 2, 21 to 23 says, "And he changes the times and the seasons, and he removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He reveals the deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. And I thank you and praise you, O God of my fathers, who has given me wisdom and might, and has made known unto me now what we desired of you, for you have now made known unto us the king's matter. And the other one was Ephesians chapter 5, 12 through 16. For it is a shame even to speak of these things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever thus make manifest is light. Therefore he says, awake you that sleep, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. See then that you walk carefully, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. And so, as I said to God's people out there, you are the light. Shine. Shine as children of the light. Expose the dark works of the darkness. Expose the plans of these people. Expose them. Shine the light of the of God on them, okay? Cause them, cause their plans to be found out. Cause them to be found out. This is the best way to do the spiritual warfare. This is a spiritual battle. This has to be fought on the spiritual turf. If you try to fight this thing in the natural, you will lose. You will lose. But this is a spiritual battle, and it must be fought on spiritual conditions. The Lord always responds when we do it His way, not our way. And throughout the Bible, it's there. It always has been. The battle is the Lord's. He has said it. The battle is mine, saith the Lord. And what we do is obey Him. And He will undertake for His children. He always does. He always has.
I think it's a really good point, Augusto, because what's really going on here, what you saw and what's really going on, there are men with their plans. There are men doing things, but behind those men are supernatural forces or demonic forces, if you will. And if we try to fight that battle in the natural, we try to fight it physically, if we join this so-called revolution, that's mm-hmm. physical. You can't use physical weapons to defeat spiritual weapons. You can't.
That's right.
And so the only weapons, the Word says, that our weapons are not carnal. In other words, they're not of this world, but are mighty for tearing down strongholds. They're spiritual weapons. And when we lean on Yeshua, when we lean on God and the Holy Spirit, He quickens our hearts to those devices and those lies that the enemy is spreading. And if we try to listen with our natural eyes, with our natural ears, we too could be deceived. And I think that's what you're saying, that we have to resist the temptation, if you will, to fight in the carnal, in the natural, and to fight, rather, in the spiritual. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, absolutely. Even in the real battles, Daniel, that took place in the biblical times, even in real time battles, whenever the Israelites tried the children of Israel tried to do this in their own power, they failed. They lost. Okay, they were conquered. And whenever they turned to the Lord and they just obeyed Him, okay. And the Lord, He has these specific plans, and He would tell them, okay, God does speak. God speaks clearly. If we don't hear Him, because we're not paying attention. He spoke to the people back then, okay? Back then, the Holy Ghost had not been poured out upon mankind yet, okay? And yet they could hear God. Today, the Holy Spirit has been poured out upon all mankind. Not everybody receives Him. Not everybody believes in receiving the Holy Spirit, but it has been poured out at the day of Pentecost. So now we should be even more able to hear His voice, because we have His Spirit now dwelling within us, not just coming on us, but dwelling within us. And so if we pay attention to Him, like back then, He would tell them, go around Jericho, seven times, do it this way. Do it that way. Shout, and the walls will fall. They did it. And it happened. The same
and, you know,
with
the
Gideon.
The crazy thing is, that didn't make sense, Augusto. It did not make sense to walk around walls seven times and shout. In the natural, that doesn't make sense. What would make sense if they try to beat down the door, or if they send spies into the walls? But what God had them do were things in many circumstances that didn't make sense.
That's right, because the answer to that is in the book of 1 Corinthians, where it talks about, you know, the foolish things of the world. And, you know, it talks about the foolish things of the world that God has used to confound, the wise, and the weak things to confound the strong, and the things that are not to confound the things that are, so that no man, okay, shall glory in his presence. Okay? The Lord has this strange desire for the weakness, okay, for men to be weak and broken before him. He always is attracted to weakness and brokenness and humility and repentance. This is why a broken, contrite, repentant heart, the Lord is able to do much more than anyone that is so, you know, brilliant and powerful and charismatic. The Lord cannot do much with such individual, because he doesn't think he knows the Lord. He doesn't think he needs the Lord as much as someone that doesn't know any better. So when the Lord finds the vessels that they know that they don't have what it takes, they don't have the intelligence, they are weak and they're feeble, and they come to the Lord and they declare themselves to be weak and feeble, God hears that kind of prayer. And he hears that plea, and he will come like a strong giant and fight on their behalf. I mean, the Lord doesn't need the things that men thinks that we need. One little angel, Daniel, slew, 165,000 troops of the enemy. One angel. And so he doesn't need a whole lot of, to really accomplish his purposes. And we know from history, from biblical history, how every time the children of Israel obey the Lord, the enemy was confounded. The enemy was confounded. By the time the people of Israel arrived at the enemy camp, they were already fighting each other. They were killing each other. The people of God barely had to do anything. They didn't have to even fight. Now, this, a lot of people out there may say, well, that was back then, Brother Augusto. Now it's different. Well, let me take you to a more recent event, okay? Let's go to the War of Independence, when George Washington was the president, okay? Or right before he became president, during the War of Independence. I read some of that. And I even saw a movie about that documentary. And what happened there was astounding. Okay? The troops of Washington's troops, okay, were almost defeated. They had no food. They were tired. They had no ammo. They were out. And it was very cold. And they basically, if they didn't win this one, this next battle they were going to fight, it was over. It was over for them. They might as well pack it and go home. And George Washington, according to history, went to prayer. He went to pray and sought the Lord all night. And when he came back from prayer, he told his men that the Lord had told him what he had to do. He gave him divine, specific directives, and the directive was that they were to cross the Delaware, okay, and go to where the enemy was in the middle of the night or early in the morning, you know. And every one of his generals, every one of his military men, everyone that he consulted this with told him, you're crazy, you should not do this, this is totally contrary to a military strategy, you can't do this, it's suicide. And Washington said, no, this is what we're going to do. If you don't want to come, fine, I'll go by myself. And the people, the ones that want to come with me, but I am doing this. This is what the Lord told me, what God told me to do. And so finally, all the military men and the generals and them and those under him, finally, you know, they accepted, they agreed to you know, to back him up and go. So as they were on the, crossing the Delaware River, they were almost freezing to death, hungry. They had no ammo. They were basically just going by what the Lord told them. And history says that when they got there, they caught all of the British soldiers and the French, you know, military guys that were there that they had hired to fight in the war. Can't remember the names right now. They were, you know, sober. They were kind of, you know, they had drunk a lot the night before. And they were sleeping. They were all sleeping. They were caught sleeping. They were caught unprepared. They didn't know what hit them, and they captured the whole unit without firing one shot. They didn't have to fire one shot because they obeyed the Lord. And what I'm trying to say is that God has the strategies for victory. And people need to focus on him, and they need to understand that this man, what they want, if the people do what they want, they're gonna, I mean, first of all, they're gonna die. Secondly, they're gonna be defeated. And thirdly, they're going to be able to achieve their plans. And this was very clear what the Spirit impressed me. And they're being baited right now. They are being baited. And a lot of people are focusing on the natural, and they're not paying attention to the Spirit. And people need to be preparing more in the Spirit, paying attention in the Spirit, because these things, like you said before, Daniel, these are spiritual forces at work, spiritual forces, and it's going to intensify. And if the people try to fight this thing in the natural, they're going to lose, and they're going to be killed, and they're going to be destroyed.
You know, the reason why I was so excited when I went back and listened to you and Larry from earlier in the week is, now, I guess though I'm a fiction writer, remember, I write fiction. But those things that you are saying now and said then, some of those very things are in my new book, As the Darkness Falls.
Wow.
And it's not because I'm brilliant. It's not because, you know, I have my finger on the pulse of what's going on. It's, I believe, the Lord. And you know, the tagline, and I think maybe you can speak to this, the tagline for that new book is, nothing is as it seems.
Mm.
That's the tagline. Nothing is as it seems. And if I hear what you're saying, if I hear you correctly, that is exactly what you're saying. The kings of the earth, the men of the new world, men and women of the new world order, the Illuminati, whatever you want to call them, they have been working behind the scenes, strategizing for centuries, bringing together the culmination of history's end, or the entrance of the new world order, but the way they have worked is in such a way that we don't even understand their devices. We don't even understand what they're doing. So we see a presidential election, and it goes one way or the other, and we think we have a hand in it. They've already, from what I hear you saying of your vision, they've already calculated the end. They've already calculated the outcome of those things. And nothing that we see is as it seems. Does that
concur
with your vision?
Absolutely, absolutely. Like I was sharing Monday, you know, one of the things that was shown to me was how these people, they are so meticulously prepared. They don't just have a plan. They have multiple plans, A, B, C, D, E, and each one seems to be better than the other one. And I mean, they just don't fail. They just are, the way they work these things out, okay, it's not going to fail. It's going to be successful because they always foresee what could go wrong, and if it does go wrong, they have another plan already in place to pick it up right from the spot where it went wrong and take them to that next level. It's so wicked. It's so malevolent. It's brilliantly malevolent. Is what I'm trying to say. It's the wicked wisdom. It's the opposite of divine wisdom, the opposite of godly wisdom. This is a devilish wisdom, and it's incredible. I was amazed at what I was being shown, and you know, I share that I felt like John in the Island of Patmos when he was shown Mystery Babylon, and it says that he was amazed at the woman at Babylon the Great, who was riding the beast, and he was amazed. And you know, that is the only thing I can compare it to. I was just blown away. I was amazed at the wisdom, at the brilliance of these people, the way they had put these things together, and they are putting these things together. So what the people need to understand is that you cannot even attempt to try to come against the power of the enemy in your own strength and your own effort. If you do not come in the power of the Lord, you are it's over. Look at David and Goliath. David was facing a supernatural enemy, and all the generals and all the military men of Israel, they were afraid, they were terrified in the natural because of Goliath. And none of them was able to confront him because they were terrified. Spirit of fear took control of them. And the spirit of fear, Daniel, is very powerful. And most people do not realize how powerful is fear. Fear can be totally dominating. If somebody is overcome with fear, it paralyzes them. It totally paralyzes them. And these people, this entity, this elite, this seed of Satan, they are masters of manipulation and of bringing about fear on the people. They know how to create fear. They feed on fear. And so they know how to pull the right levers and push the right buttons to bring about fear, and to keep the people in a condition of fear, in a state of fear. And as long as people are in the condition of fear, and I'm talking about the people of God, I'm not even talking about the ungodly out there, I'm talking about God's people, those that love him and those that follow him, the remnant, okay, those that are saved by the blood of the Lamb. If they are allowed to be kept in fear, fear brings torment, the scripture says. Fear brings torment. It paralyzes an individual. You cannot think. You cannot act. You cannot plan ahead. You cannot pray. You cannot make right decisions, wise decisions. You cannot hear the voice of God. You cannot hear the voice of the Lord, because faith is the opposite of fear. When you're full of fear, you're not walking, you're not operating in faith. So faith and fear are contrary to each other. Faith and fear are totally at opposite sides. Fear neutralizes faith, okay? And so when you see fear at work, you can bet your bottom dollar that faith is not operating. And when you see faith operating, you know that fear is nowhere to be found. And so David was moving in faith. He was not moving in fear. While the whole camp of the enemy was overcome with fear, David had the spirit of faith operating in his life. And he spoke it, okay? He spoke it, he felt it, he knew it, and then he spoke it, and then he acted on it, okay? I'm going to give the people tonight a very three-step, a principle having three steps. Three steps, three spiritual steps to this principle, and it's the dynamic of faith, all right? First of all, faith, you have to have faith in your heart. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. You have to have it in your heart. If you don't have faith in your heart and you don't believe something, then forget it. That's not faith. If you wait for something to happen before you have faith, that's not faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So you have faith for something before it even happens. You have faith for something before you can even see it, you can hear it. That is faith. Is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things that are not seen in the natural. You see it in the spirit, but not in the natural. Okay? So you have this in your heart. That's the first principle, the first step. You have to have faith in your heart. You have to believe that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You have to believe that he has spoken something to you and that he's going to bring it to pass. You have to believe that. That is faith. The second step is you declare it with your mouth. You have to declare with your mouth what is in your heart. That is the second principle of faith. And that is because as the heart believes, you speak with your mouth as the heart believes, okay? You believe with your heart and you speak with your mouth. So one without the other is not going to work. You can believe in your heart all you want, but if you don't declare it with your mouth, that faith inside your heart is not going to be exteriorized. It's not going to be released. The way you release the faith in your heart is by declaring with your mouth, like David said. He said, I am going to defeat you, Goliath. I am going to cut your head off, and I'm going to feed it to the birds. That's what he said to the giant. So he believed it in his heart. But he didn't just keep it inside of him. Now he opened his mouth and he declared it. So that is the second principle. You have to believe it in your heart, and then you have to declare it with your mouth. But that is not enough, okay? Then the third part is you have to act on it. You have to act on it. Act on the faith that is in your heart, on the trust for God that is in your heart, and the faith that you have released with your spoken word, with your mouth, the words you have spoken and released that faith, and now you're going to act on it. And David acted on it, and he ran towards the giant, okay? He ran towards the giant with a slingshot. That's all he had. He didn't have a sword. He didn't have the armor. He only had the slingshot and 5 stones. That's all he had, 5 stones. And we Christians have the slingshot that we have is our mouth, okay? The word of a living God, okay? We speak the word of a living God. He is the stone that the builders rejected, which has become the capstone. And when we take that stone that the builders rejected and we use it on our slingshot, which is the word of the living God, and we speak it with force and with faith and with certainty, it will hit the target. And it will take down the giant every time. It will hit the giant on the head, on the forehead. And that is a type and a shadow for people living in the end times, which are we. So we need to understand this principle. It's very simple. You believe it in your heart. You have to have faith in your heart, not fear. Faith in your heart. And then you speak it with your mouth. You declare it. You release that faith with your mouth. And then you act on it. And if you do it in those steps, 1, 2, 3, the Lord will give us the victory. He will give you the victory in whatever it is, in whatever giant you're facing. Whatever giant, whether it be the Illuminati, whether it be a sickness, whether it be a disease, whether it be a personal situation in your home, whatever it is, he will slay that giant for you. In Jesus' name, in the name of Yeshua.
In Jesus' name. You know, one of my favorite scriptures come to mind. It's out of Timothy. It said, God has not given us a spirit of timidity or fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. And, you know, Augusta, we are not called to walk in fear. And yet, as you just said, many of us do. I count myself in that, because there have been times in the past that I have walked in fear. I've faced giants and walked in fear. But the things that are coming upon the earth, the things that you just shared from your vision, the things that people are facing right now, the things that people will be facing shortly, those are giants in the land. And just like the giants that the spies that went out to spy on the giants in the land and came back and said we're like grasshoppers in their eyes, mm-hmm. You know, we have to be like the two that say, you know what, our God is bigger our God is greater. And sometimes when we say those things, because we're looking at the giants, we may not necessarily believe it. But if I can say it this way, when we confess it with our mouth, it's like we're talking ourselves into it. Do you think that's accurate?
Absolutely. See, we as human beings, you know, we all live in our frail bodies. We're all susceptible to the spirit of fear. Okay? Fear is a spirit. It is a spirit, and the enemy uses fear because of what I just shared before, because he knows that as long as he can keep people in fear, okay, they will be neutralized. Okay, fear, demons feed on fear. It's like to evil spirits, to demonic spirits, fear is like blood, like what blood is to sharks. They're attracted to fear. Okay, demons and devils are attracted to fear, whereas angels, okay, if you want to attract angels, the good angels, the angels of God, if you want to attract angels, you have to exercise faith. Angels are attracted to faith. When they see faith in action, they are attracted to it like a magnet. The Lord is attracted to people that walk in faith. That is why when you read the scriptures, Jesus Christ, Yeshua said, the centurion, when the centurion came to him, remember the scripture, he said, Master, I need you to come to my house, or, I have a servant that is very, very sick. He's deathly sick. And Jesus said, I'll come with you. And then the revelation came upon the centurion. He said, Master, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof. I am not worthy that you should come there. Just speak the word, and my servant will be healed. Just speak it. I believe that you are a man under command, under authority, just like I am a man under authority. And when a person is under authority, when I tell one of my soldiers, they are under my authority, and I know when I tell them to do something, they do it because they are under authority. Likewise, I know that you're a man under authority. And when you give a command, it is going to be done. It is going to happen. And when Jesus heard these words, the scripture says that he marveled. He marveled. The Bible there, the word there is, he was amazed at his faith. And he said, I have not seen such faith in all the land of Israel. No, I have never seen such faith. He was amazed. And so he told him, go in peace. Your servant is healed. So he spoke the word, and he was done. The man believed, and the centurion believed him, and the Lord released. You see, the Lord released the power. The power is released. The power of God is released by the spoken word, by the prophetic word. Okay? He spoke it. He said, it is done. So he believed it. It was spoken, and next it happened. And when he went back to his servant was healed. Okay? And so we see this time after time again. The Syrophoenician woman, the woman that came when Jesus Christ, Yeshua, was having a sort of a retreat with his disciples. And the Syrophoenician woman came and intruded, okay? She was not invited. She was not supposed to be there. But she pressed herself in. She pressed in. She pushed through. And she was there because she had an urgency. She had an urgency in her heart. She had her daughter that was vexed with the evil spirits, and she had to have a miracle. And many times people lose the ability to press through, okay? Press through to a miracle. Press through to receive your answer from the Master. We have lost the ability, Daniel, to pray through. The old-timers used to pray through. They were tremendous intercessors back years ago. Those old timers, those old ladies, those old sisters and old brothers, men, they just laid hold of the horns of the altar, and they would pray through, and they would intercede and cry and sigh until they broke through. And when they broke through, they knew it. And they knew that they had broken through to the throne room. And there they placed their petition before the Lord. And they knew that they had the answer because they had prayed through. because they had a need, and they knew that the only one that could meet the need was the Almighty, and they pressed through. Well, the Syrophoenician woman was the same. She prayed through. She had a great need, and she didn't care if the disciples pushed her. They probably tried to stop her, but nothing would stop her, because when you have a great need and an urgency, nothing will stop you. And finally, she made her way to the Lord, and he asked her, "What do you want, woman?" And she said, "Lord, the master, that you would heal my daughter. She is vexed with an evil spirit." And the next words that came out of the mouth of Yeshua would send anyone away if they were not full of faith. This is what he told her. He said, "Woman," she says, "it is not right for me to give the bread of the children unto the dogs." He called her a dog, because back then, people that, you know, the mixed breeds, okay, were not considered, were not considered Israelites, were considered like dogs. And so he basically told her, it is not right for me to give the children's bread, you know, healing, deliverance, to the dogs. Well, she didn't allow that to stop her.
She
even pressed stronger and with more insistence, and she basically told him, "You know, Lord, I am a dog. Yes, I am a dog. But you know what, Master? Even the little dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table." And Jesus was amazed, just like with the centurion. He was amazed at the faith of this woman, and he just told her, "Woman, it shall be done unto you as you desire. Go, your daughter is delivered." She's healed. And you know, every time we see in the scriptures where the Lord shows up, okay, in a mighty way, we see great faith. We see great faith. We don't see great fear. We don't see people having pity parties. We don't see people, cowering in fear. We see faith. We see great faith. And this woman left knowing in her heart that she had received what she wanted, what she needed for her daughter.
And I think that word is so appropriate right now, Augusto, because those things that are coming on the earth, those things, and we'll talk about some of those. I wish Larry was here. He's got a laundry list of news anytime I talk to him, but those are things that are coming upon the earth. Remember what the word says. The word says that if the Lord, that in the last days that people's hearts will fail for fear. Just what you're talking about. At those things that are coming upon the earth.
Yes.
And this faith that you're talking about, this belief, the word for faith, the word that we use in our American Bible, we use this word faith, but in Hebrew, that understanding was more than just faith. I have faith in something. It was the word trust. It was the word leaning. I trust God enough to lean on him above all else, without falling. That's the kind of mentality that we have to have. And you were talking about how the church of 40, 50 years ago, used to travail with God until they broke through and their prayers were answered. But, what we see now in our modern society is what I call a microwave church. We want it now. It's not about the things that we need. It's about the comforts that we have in life. I want the comfort that I have now. It's not about, being delivered from the things that pull us down. It's about, I want a promotion at work, or not that those things are bad, but they shouldn't be priorities in our life, whatever financial issues or whatever the case may be. The things that are coming upon the earth will shake civilization. They will shake society. They will shake our country.
That's right.
And if we're focused on the microwavable, prayers that this modern church, and which I count myself as part of the modern church, if we maintain this microwavable attitude, we will not be able to press through because we don't have the energy to press through. We say a few, you know, prayers and then we're done. But we don't travail at God's feet anymore. And you know, the verses that you, I can't remember the verse, that you have not because you ask not, and when you ask amiss. So the fact that you know, this generation is not necessarily seeking those same things that God wants for us. And oftentimes, sadly so, but it's the truth, it takes travail, it takes pain, sometimes it takes suffering and persecution to bring about this attitude where we cry out to God desperately because there is no place else to go. And when you talk about the woman with the daughter that was demon possessed, or even the man that his friends cut a hole in the roof and laid him down.
That's right.
Laid him down in front of the Messiah. We need to be that desperate for God. Not because God doesn't listen to us when we're not that desperate, but because our hearts are truly turned to him when we're that desperate. And in this time of trouble that's coming, you talked about, you know, the financial system, and I want to get into that a little bit, but in this time of trouble that's coming, our hearts have to be so centered on God, they have to be so centered on the Holy Spirit, that we desperately cry out for not what we want, not because Daniel wants, you know, a new car. We have to cry out to him for those things that he wants. See,
that's
the difference with David. When David, you know, it's funny, the other part of that story, when David went up to Goliath, if I remember correctly the story, he tried on Saul's armor. And Saul was a king. David was a runt of a kid. And it was huge on him. I mean, he couldn't even move. I can only imagine how heavy, you know, Saul's sword was in his hands. And David knew that he couldn't go into that battle with Goliath with anything else but God, because he had nothing else. And see, many times, we as believers, we sit back and go, well, I'm going to pray, but, you know, I have my job, or I have, you know, my family, or I have this in my back pocket. And if God doesn't quite work out that way, then, you know, I can always come up with a different solution. That's not the kind of faith that you're talking about, I don't think.
No.
You're talking about the kind of faith that says, God, I'm going to depend on you and no one else but you.
That's right. Yeah, and I'm not saying to the people, you know, that you do not need to prepare, because I have prepared, but I have prepared according to what the Father has shown me, what the Lord has told me to do. And I try to be obedient to him, and I'm trying to do exactly what he tells me to do. And I'm not always perfect. I am not always perfectly obedient as I would like to be, 100%. But I try. I try to be obedient. But the thing is, we have to do it by faith, because in the natural, it's not going to do it, like you said. The things that are coming upon us, and they're almost upon us now, we can talk about a million things. We could talk about financial crisis. We could talk about martial law. We could talk about thugs and murderers coming to take what you got. We can talk about earth changes. We can talk about the approaching object that is going to cause horrendous things next year, and I may get into it a little bit in the second hour. This is not going. You're not going to be able to overcome these things in the natural. Forget it. It's not going to happen. You're going to have a supernatural assistance in this. You're going to have to learn how to activate angels. You're going to have to know how to push through and pray through. You're going to have to know how to touch God for yourself when these things happen. You're going to have to be operating in the spirit of faith, not in the spirit of fear. Like I said before, there is a spirit of fear, and there is a spirit of faith. Both are spirit. Which spirit are you operating by? So I'm not talking about the claiming and, you know, name it and claim it. I'm not talking about that. That has been abused, and that is abhorred by the Lord. The Lord doesn't, he doesn't do things like that. I'm talking about the real deal. There is the real deal. There is the real faith. Faith, okay, combat faith, a faith that you can lay hold of, faith that is a spiritual, powerful thing that you can lay hold on and you can have for yourself, that you can believe things, supernatural things that are not here now, and you can believe for it. How are you going to be transported, let's say, out of danger, out of chaos, if you don't have faith, if you don't believe these things are possible? How are the angels going to do these things for you? How are the angels going to do for you supernatural provision when you have nothing? How is this going to happen if you don't operate in the spirit of faith? If you don't believe in these things, if you're not ready, you're operating in fear. How are these things going to happen? You see? So you need to be operating in the spirit of faith, like it says 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. We have the same spirit of faith. The spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. 2 Corinthians 5:7. For we walk by faith and not by sight. That means we don't walk by the five senses. We don't walk by five senses. We walk by faith. And so faith is a tremendous, powerful thing. And the people of God need to begin to operate in faith, because when these things begin to happen, it's going to be too late. If you have not exercised your faith by then, it's going to be too late. 2 Corinthians 13:5, look what it says. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Okay? So we need to do a reality check today. You need to do a reality check. Are you walking in faith, or are you walking by the five senses? Are you walking in faith, or are we walking in fear? Are we walking by what the mouth that come out of the words that come out of the mouth of the Lord, or we are going by the words that come out of the mouth of man? What are we doing? Where are we? So we examine ourselves, and this is the only way that we are going to be able to make it, because, Daniel, the things that are coming this year, this coming year, I believe it's going to begin later this year, and it's going to carry on to 2013 and 2014. There's going to be very weird, strange things that are going to happen. And a lot of people are not going to know what's going on. They think they're going to be safe and secure because they have a few gold coins, or they're in their underground bunker and they have stored up enough food for a year. You know, that is all good and dandy, but that is not going to do it. Trust me, it is not going to be enough. These things that are about to happen, we have never gone through anything like this. We have never gone through anything like this. These are uncharted waters. Never. We have never. The Lord said it. He said it. He said, this has never happened. No. Nor shall it ever happen again since the world began. We are entering into the center of the galaxy, okay? I've shared this before in other programs. We are entering into the center of the galaxy. We are seeing things we have never experienced before. There are earth changes. The geomagnetic poles are shifting. It's causing a lot of earthquakes. It's causing volcanic eruptions. It's causing earth changes. And nobody has an answer for it. The earth is being bombarded by electromagnetic waves, photons, that are coming from the center of the galaxy, of the dark place in the galaxy. This is a photon belt. We are beginning to cross it. There's also an object that is approaching us. Some say it's the size of a moon. Some say it's the size of the earth. Some say it's two or three times the size of the earth. The opinion varies. But there is something coming, and some photographs have been taken on it. It's coming from behind the sun. That is why we cannot see it, because the sun is so bright that unless you have special filters, okay, special kinds of filters, and you have a powerful telescope, you cannot see it. It's impossible. It's coming right behind the sun. So those that have been able to capture these images, it is there. It is visible. It is getting closer. And I was listening, and I read what this scientist and I would like to know what your opinion is on this, Daniel. But I was listening to James McCaney recently on his website, and he was talking about this comet C2012SI or S1, and he made reference in his talk to the planetary disturbances that it may cause to Mars and to Earth. And he mentioned a couple of dates that this might be the strongest. He mentioned October of 2013, and he mentioned also, I think it was November and December of 2013. Now, he said at first that this was a comet, okay? And he said that this should, you know, it was not going to hit the Earth, and it was going to pass close to us, very close to us. But then, after a while, as I was listening to him, for some reason, he mentions Planet X in relation to this object. And he starts saying that NASA is hiding the data on this comet, on comet C2012S1. And then he starts to say that NASA is as quiet as a mouse and that they are not saying anything about it. And this is what really shocked me. Is, you know, he started talking about comet C2012S1, but then all of a sudden, for some reason, for some odd reason, he brings in the topic of Planet X. And the fact that he said that that the world should be getting ready for this in case this is a Planet X object. Now, when I heard that, I said, wait a minute. Wait a minute, James. You're telling me first that this is just a comet. Why are you now saying that there is a possibility that this thing could be the so-called Planet X? He's not saying it is, okay? Don't misunderstand me. He did not say this is Planet X. But he's saying that that NASA and the government should be preparing and talking more about this object in case it would be, you know, that object. So what is he saying? Does he think that there's a possibility, quote-unquote possibility, that this object, this comet, 2012S1, could be the so-called 10th planet? That is the impression I got. And then I looked, Daniel, I looked at NASA's JPL, and, you know, and they have it. They have it already logged. And the orbit that this thing is coming in, you know, it's really incredible because it's very similar to the orbit that Comet Elenine had last year, but this one is going to come even closer around the sun, and it's going to come very fast. And I went to the JPL, NASA JPL, and I projected it, and I found out that on July 11, 2013, this comet 2012 C2012S1 will be in perfect alignment with Mercury, the Sun, and the Earth. And then on that day that James McCaney said, okay, he was going to be very close to the Earth. Let me see. On January 2013, the Earth would pass between the comet and the Sun. And then on February 17, it would be 4.0 AU from the Earth. And on June 2nd, 2013, it will begin to draw closer to the Earth until July 11, when it will be in perfect alignment with the Earth and Mercury, both on the same side of the sun. Now, if this thing is just a comet, like I said last year, with a comet aligning, if this is just a comet, then there's nothing to worry about. But the words that came out of the mouth of James McCaney really made me concerned. So I don't know. This man is a reputable scientist. He's not, I mean, he's not just like me that analyzes, you know, what other people say and makes, his surmises. This man, he's supposed to know what he's talking about. So I was kind of very surprised and shocked when he said those things.
Well, you know, Augusto, there is talk that Nibiru, Planet X, has its own miniature galaxy that is around it. It has debris or satellites around it, not man-made satellites, other satellites, planets, asteroids, comets, that sort of thing, that are being pulled by its gravitational pull and that are trailing it or following it. So perhaps, just I haven't heard that. I have heard of the comet, but I haven't heard this gentleman, James. Perhaps he's alluding to the fact that it's not necessarily Planet X, but maybe one of the parts of the debris field that could inadvertently hit the Earth or do damage to the Earth. But the very fact that he has such a he's plotted the course for it the way he has leads me to believe that, without saying so, because Planet X or Nibiru in the mainstream science community, a lot of people don't want to talk about that. Many of them have evidence or see that there is something, you know, and I think it was Elie Marzulli did this in his Watchers 1 video, perhaps his Watchers 2 video. He talked about how all the planets in our solar system are experiencing perturbance. In other words, they're askew, they're off kilter, they're doing strange things. They're experiencing climate change just like we're experiencing climate change. And what he did in that video is he talked with a few different scientists that said there's some other force, some force that we can't see that is causing this perturbance in our solar system. So when you know, you hear somebody like James who's speaking now much closer to a date where this body could show up, I think if he's part of the mainstream science community, he's probably a little concerned to be saying, hey, this is Planet X, and batten down the hatches because it's going to whack us, or it's going to get close to whacking us, because that would cause widespread pandemonium and fear. And, you know, he doesn't want to be shunned by his own science community. That's probably the best guess that I have. But certainly what you're saying as far as it, there has never been a time on the Earth that something like this has happened. In fact, one of the articles I pulled to talk about tonight, the headline was, "Scientists Link Rapid Geomagnetic Field Reversal," that's a polar shift, "climate change, and supervolcano eruptions to the same geological period." And it talks about a time 41,000 years ago when all of a sudden our poles flipped violently and all this stuff happened. Now, there have been a lot of talk about how or the time period that Planet X or Nibiru would come through our solar system. The question remains, well, we don't really know because people weren't alive, at least modern people weren't alive back then. So we don't really know what happened. But in addition to that, you mentioned something very, very important, and I've yet to hear anybody talk about this. We are, in fact, going through the galaxy, and I think it was you or maybe it was Stan Dale that I heard say that we are going through a proton cloud. It's just not a proton field. It's a proton cloud. We've never done this before.
Right.
We don't know what's happening to the Earth as we go through. And for those of you that don't know, protons are subatomic particles that they smash and atom smashes. So it's, we don't really know what's gonna happen as we move through this cloud. But in addition to that, we are going through this proton particle cloud. The Earth is about to cross the celestial plane of the galaxy, if you will, right through the heart of it, right through the center of it. And at the same time, now see, this is what really blows my mind that I've not heard anybody talk about. At the same time, we could very well have Planet X or Nibiru showing up on our doorstep right at the same time.
Right.
And when Jesus said, never before you has the Earth seen a time like this, I think he's referring to this. Things are going to get so crazy. You know, if the Lord doesn't direct you and the Lord doesn't guide you where to go and how to survive, you're not going to survive. You know,
that's right.
One of the things that, and I hear Larry talk about this often, I've heard Steve Quayle say this, but those watchers that have contact with the public hear this question all the time. They ask them, well, where should I go? What should I do? So it's people asking a man or a woman, what should I do? Where should I go? Folks, they're just people. And, you know, these guys, they love people, so their heart breaks because they can't give them a good answer. They can't help them. What they tell them, and I've heard Larry say this time and time again, I'm just a man. You need to ask God what you should do. And all these things that you were talking about at the beginning of the first hour here, this is where this really comes into play. Because things are going to get so crazy, there is no man on earth that can give you the right advice for you. So the best thing that you can do is get on your face before the Lord and say, where should I go? What should I do? That doesn't mean that you don't prepare, you know, food supplies and, you know, shelter, that sort of thing. But inevitably, the only thing that matters is, are you hearing from God? Are you on your face? Are you beseeching him? Are you at his feet saying, Lord, show me what to do? Because at the very least, when you're on your face, at his feet, what he will give you in that time of craziness is peace. Peace that surpasses all understanding. And that's not something that Larry Taylor, Steve Quayle, Augusto Perez, Daniel Holdings, we can't give you that. Only God can give you that peace that surpasses all understanding. And then along with that, he can give you direction about the next thing to do. So I don't really know what James is saying, other than I think what he really wants to say, he's not saying. Because in his own community, he can't really say for fear of ridicule or alienation or whatever the case may be. But
Daniel, that this object, according to him and many others, because he's not the only one that has said it, but many other scientists, they have said that this object, okay, this quote-unquote comet, is going to be so bright, it's going to be the brightest in history, okay, or one of the brightest in history. It's going to be brighter than the moon, brighter than the moon. And it says that it's going to even outshine the moon. Okay, this particular comet is following the same path as the Great Comet of 1680, which was one of the most spectacular ever seen on the Earth. So this is not going to be as insignificant as Elening was. This is going to be a big thing. This is going to be a big deal, if you know what I'm saying. It's going to be a big deal. And there are many scientists, and I have read some of their papers, okay. One of them is, what's his name? Anyway, he was produced by the Millennium Group, okay? And in this paper, it talks about when these things happen, when this photon belt, when we go through the photon belt, all these different things begin to take place. In this paper, it says that there's going to be intense electromagnetic emissions that is going to, it's going to be like micrometer waves going through the air, okay? It's going to be very, very incredible. Electric magnetic field changes, such as electric breakdowns, the magnetization of rocks and technical objects. Now, if I understand him right, rocks are going to be magnetized, okay? There's going to be destructive electrical discharges, okay? This, if I understand it right, there's going to be like lightning bolts and power, electric currents coming from heaven, from the heavens, and discharging on the earth, okay? There's going to be gravitation effects like levitation. Now, these things are not normal. These things are not normal. These are supernatural, abnormal events, okay? And supernatural events are events that are not normal, okay? Now, what I'm trying to say is that people need to begin to expand their minds. You need to begin to expand their mind, your mind, that there are going to be things that are going to take place around us that we have never seen before. Things that no government on the face of the earth knows how to deal with. They have never experienced anything like this before. They cannot protect the people against these things. Maybe this is why they are so terrified that any news about these things leak out, because they have no answer for it. They cannot protect the people from it. Nobody can protect the mankind from it, only God. And so, or they're going to say these entities that are going to come, and they're going to protect us, but that is not so. That is not so. These entities are going to be here to not to help us, but to hurt us, okay, to manipulate us, and to bring about this new age Messiah, this new world order. So people need to understand this deception that is about to happen. Many of these strange things that are going to happen, these entities, okay, these devils and these false Christs are going to say that they are producing it. They are making it happen. It's not them. It is not them that is making this happen. These are going to be supernatural manifestations that are going to take place because of what is happening to the earth and where our solar system. We are going through this photon belt. These photonic particles are beginning to bombard mankind. As a result of this, things are going to begin to change. People are going to begin to change. Human life may change. Animal life may change. Now, expressed. These opinions are being expressed by scientists and astrophysicists and people that are familiar with what could happen on the Earth, and they have been talking about it. And so I am just repeating what they have said. Okay. One of these scientists is Dr. Dmitriev, and he wrote a paper on this, and he talks about Voyager 1 and Voyager 2 probes, and what the results were. He has a paper on that subject. But the bottom line is that this is going to cause massive CMEs, Daniel, solar discharges on the Earth. It could burn up anything. It could burn up whatever side of the earth it hits. It's going to burn it up crisp. So what can protect us? Nothing can protect us from that. I don't even think that the underground bunkers can protect people from that.
No, only the
power of the Almighty can protect us from that.
Right. You know, talking to you, Augusto. I love talking to you because it's like I'm talking to myself. I have to chuckle. You heard me chuckling. I have to chuckle because the minute I want to say something, you say it.
Praise God.
You know, and it's just confirmation, you know, of what I believe the Holy Spirit's doing, not in me necessarily, not in you, but in his body in general. You know, God still speaks people. He speaks through people. You know, and this man
Amen.
That you're listening to, Augusto Perez, is telling you the very same thing that I would tell you if it were me talking. You know, Augusto, and I think I shared with you one other time what the Lord showed me. The Lord gave me a word for someone, my pastor, as a matter of fact. And he said, this is what the Lord said. He said, the word, and I referred him to Ephesians 6, and it says, we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but with principalities, powers, and spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places, right? And I underlined it, heavenly places, or the Holy Spirit underlined that. And I said to him, I said, the Lord says that you need to prepare the people for things that they've never seen before. They will not, these spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places are going to begin to pierce that veil between what we see as our reality and this heavenly reality, other dimensions, if you will. And the people, when they see these things, they are not going to know how to handle it. They are not going to know what to do about it. Now, and so that was the word, and he thought, I don't know, maybe he thought it was crazy, but that's the word that the Lord gave me a few months back, and that's exactly the thing that you're saying right now. The things that are going to happen on the earth, mankind has never seen before. And as a result, we don't have a point of reference. We don't know what to do with those things. And, you know, the interesting thing is that all of those things, those physical things that are happening in our galaxy and in our own solar system and our own planet are happening as all this other crazy stuff is beginning to happen at the same time. So let's check the boxes off here. And you were so right earlier. You said that I could talk about this and I could talk. Well, let's talk about some of those things. At the same time, let me put in this reference. At the same time that these things are going on in our galaxy, we are going to experience a economic collapse. It is a certainty, people. This is going to happen, and it has to happen. Why does it have to happen? It's simple mathematics. Because the money that we're going through QE3 right now, quantitative easing 3, as Bernanke calls it, that's making money out of nothing, thus diluting the value of your dollar. I used to be a money guy, so I understand this kind of thing. The end result of this will be your dollars will be virtually worthless. You add to that the physical cliff that we're facing, the debt that we're facing. Now, I'm not even talking about the European Union. Those things that you've seen in Greece, those things that we're seeing in Spain, those things that are overtaking Europe in general, the EU in general, we will see here. There was a prophecy. I don't know who did it. I don't know. The prophecy was that a month that the European Union and the euro would collapse, and then a month after that, the dollar would collapse. And you mentioned, Augusto, that it was designed. It is designed. Why is it designed? It is designed to bring together this one world government, this one world monetary system, this one world bank, if you will. After that one world bank is brought together, then they can have a one world government. It is, they are so insidious, this evil that is orchestrating these plans. And I had a chuckle when you were talking about this, because I wrote about this in my new book. It's a fictional book, but here's Augusto Perez talking about it, and it just blows my mind. So you have these fiscal things that are about to happen on the earth. There's going to be food shortages. There's going to be water shortages. There's going to be violence on the earth as a result of the economic problems that we have. At the same time that we are going through the center of the galaxy, going through the photon belt, going through all of these things. Now, you mentioned these entities that are about to show up. And this really, really, you know, if the people can hear anything tonight, it is this. When you begin to see these things happen around you, when you see these things befall the earth, do not be fooled. You have been warned beforehand so that you would know. You know, one of the things that I read today is this amazing article, and it says here, more people believe in UFOs than God. And, you know, I'll just read the first paragraph. It says, an interesting survey done in the United Kingdom shows that more people believe in UFOs than they believe in God. About 33.1 million people believe that there is intelligent life on other planets, and less than half the country, about 17.5 million people, believes that there is a God. Now, this is England, okay? This is the UK. You could say, well, that's not us. We're America. You know, we're God's chosen people, right? You could say that. But the fact is that England was the center of Protestant religion for, you know, centuries. They believed in God. They walked with him, and they've drifted away to this belief system where more people believe in UFOs than they do believe in God. And I bet if you took the same survey in the United States, more people may believe in God here in the United States, but an awful lot of them would say they believe in UFOs. And they don't know how to interlace those two belief systems. They don't really know, you know, okay, I believe in God. I believe that there's a creator. I believe that there's some intelligence behind this whole universe that created things, but I still believe in UFOs. Augusto, this is really important. Do you think you can speak to that belief system of believing in UFOs and also believing that there's a God? Can you address that for the people, please?
Well, this whole thing, Daniel, is related. And this is what has taken me years, okay? Years and years and years of seeking the Lord, of receiving revelation from him, of studying, researching. You cannot get this stuff in one day or in one week or even in a year. It takes many years, accumulatively knowledge. And, you know, revelation is progressive. You don't get it all in one shot. You get some now, you get some later, you get, and you know, it's like one door opens another door and opens another door. So this is taking me a long time, and what I've come to realize is that all these things, and of course this was all tied together by this experience I had, this is all related. It is all intricately related. What is about to happen galactically, okay? The arrival of the planet X are going through the photon belt and going through the center of the galaxy. The destruction of the world economies. The dollar is going to collapse. I was told by the Lord in 2009 that they had planned a super devaluation of the dollar. Okay, this has been planned. The formation of a new world order. The arrival of this great leader, the great ruler, the false messiah, the Antichrist, this World War III, all these things are going to come together at the same time, okay? It is going to be triggered all simultaneously. One leads to another. It is all going to happen very fast. Many people, when they look at all these things that we talk about, Daniel, they say, man, you're talking about stuff that's going to take at least 30 years, at least, for these things to happen. Not so. These things are all reaching a climax at the same time.
They're happening right now.
It is reaching, all these things are reaching the climax at the same time, right now. And so when the first thing happens, when the first event takes place, it could be anything, okay? It could be any one of the above. It could be a terrorist attack. It could be a revolution. It could be a nuclear attack. It could be World War III. It could be a cataclysmic event. It could be anything. It could be the arrival of the extraterrestrials. It could be anything. And when these things begin to happen, it is when we have entered into the end of times, okay? This is the Great Tribulation. This is the Great Tribulation. Not necessarily the day of the Lord, or not necessarily the wrath of God, but this is the Great Tribulation. And when this happens, okay, when this nuclear war, World War III, begins to take place, this is what's going to wipe out whatever is left of the bread baskets of the earth. Right now, the bread baskets are not producing enough food. They have already stated that for the next several years. There's going to be hunger and famine on the earth. There are diseases now getting ready to break out that we have no cure for. Okay, there's going to be lots of death. People are going to die from nuclear radioactivity, from disasters, from wars. These are the first few seals of Revelation. Okay, now, in the middle of this war, when this war takes place, okay, it's going to be horrendous. But in the middle of this war, this event is going to take place. There's going to be a supernatural event take place in the heavens that is going to cause literally all the parties in the war to stop. They're going to stop, they're going to look up, they're going to watch what is happening, and they're all going to go home. They're not going to continue to fight. This is going to bring an end to fighting, this nuclear holocaust. And then this is when the man of sin, the man of lawlessness, is going to make an appearance. Now, he's going to come after the days of darkness. Many say it's going to be 3 days of darkness. Many say it's going to be several days of darkness. I don't know. It could be three. It could be more. But there's going to be great darkness. The Lord showed me the great darkness was going to come upon the earth. I believe that this great darkness is going to be triggered by this celestial event that we discussed before. Which comes first, I don't know. But it's going to be triggered by this incoming object and the fact we are going through the center of the galactic center. When this thing happens, everything is going to go black, total blackout, no power. There's even a TV program right now that is all about that. It's called Revolution. I don't know if you've seen it.
Yeah, no, I've seen it. Very interesting.
The whole thing starts with a blackout that nobody knows how it happened. Well, this is going to happen. This TV series is prophetic. This is going to happen. The Lord showed it to me. It's going to happen.
We've talked before about how Hollywood oftentimes shows us things. Because you're right, the rich men of the earth, the kings of the earth, they have a plan. So they're demonically influenced anyway in Hollywood. So they know maybe indirectly about what's going to happen, and they produce movies about these sorts of things. They produce movies about a blackout and revolution. There's also another series out right now. It's called it's about a submarine. The Last Resort, and it's about a submarine that is about ready to start a civil war. They have nuclear warheads and such, that American submarine. So Hollywood is sending us signals. They're sending us this information. They give us movies or give us information that we need to read between the lines. We need to understand that these things that they're talking about, somehow they've gotten a heads up on them, and some of these things are going to come to pass, just like this series Revolution that you're talking about. And it does talk about the power going out, not in one place, talks about the power going out all over the earth.
Right. Well, remember, these people have access to some of the most brilliant minds in all of the earth. Okay, all these scientists, okay, they know what these scientists have discovered. And all these papers are just the tip of the iceberg to what is out there. Not only that, but they also have access to what many of these entities are telling them. This entity, remember, they are fallen angels, okay? They're evil, but they do have tremendous amounts of knowledge and vast amounts of technology that they are sharing with whomsoever they decide to share it with. And many of these technologies and secrets are being shared with the elite. And they are in cahoots. They are, you know, they They are in communion. They are in communication. So they know what is going to happen. Now, when these things begin to happen, they're going to happen very fast, one after another. A large part of the population of the earth will be destroyed. One-third of the earth, to be frank with you, is going to be destroyed through fire, okay? Those solar flares, it's going to hit. Wherever it hits, it's gone. It's going to fry it, okay? And then on top of that, it's going to cause cataclysmic events. It's going to cause tidal waves, all these things, okay? Only God's protection will be able to protect his people. He is the only one that can protect his people. Now, after these things happen, that is when the when this entity is going to be revealed. He's going to bring order out of chaos. There's going to be revolutions going on in the earth, not just here in the U.S., but many places. There's going to be foot fights. There's going to be people fighting for, for gold, for mineral objects, for resources. There's going to be fights for water, fights for food. And this is how the Antichrist is going to come. He's going to come when the world is in grave condition. He is in dire condition. He's going to come and bring order out of chaos. Okay, and this is what's going to usher in his millennial, his utopia, his golden kingdom, and the kingdom of the new world order. Okay, during this time, this chaos will continue, but it will be more subdued, but it will continue. At some time here is when he will implement the mark of the beast. The mark of the beast is going to be a chip implanted, and it's going to be needed, actually. The people are going to demand it, so that there can be some order restored out of this chaos that is going to be abundant in the world. So they have to implement a system whereby people are assigned a certain amount of food, certain amount of water, that people can be tracked so that vandalism and murder and all this thing can be controlled. So they're going to do this by the implementation of a chip, which is they will know exactly where everyone is going to be at every moment of the day, 365 days a year. So
okay,
they're going to be controlled.
Let me
okay, we're down to 18 minutes, Guy.
Okay, Dorothy, thank you. Let me pause you right there, because for those people that think that what Augusto's saying about this chip, you're probably thinking, I will never take a chip. I'm not going to take a chip. There's no way. They're going to have to kill me before they give me a chip, because I know the chip, the RFID chip, is the mark of the beast. I know this, so I'm not going to take it. That's what you're thinking. But how many of you out there, actually, for this audience, they're educated, so maybe many of them out there know this, but I'm not talking politics, this is just fact. In the Obamacare plan, it's mandatory that you get chipped. I don't know if you realize that. Now, if we can put that in a law, because that's what Obamacare is, it's the law of the land at the moment. If we can put that in a law and people, at large don't understand it's in there, don't understand the implications of it, what you're saying, Augusto, is very, very, this is what I was saying earlier. We are so close to these things happening. They're happening now. They're happening right under the noses of people. We don't even understand how far along that we are. So I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I wanted to jump on that bandwagon, that chip that you're talking about. It's being implemented now. So go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. It's going to be implemented, and the thing is that people are going to want it. This is the thing, that it's not going to be something that they're going to be told. They're going to be told, people will be told, if you don't have this, you don't have access, but the people will want it, because the chaos and the confusion and the crime is going to be so huge, they will want some form of order, and this is going to be new world order. That's what it's all about. Just think about it, new world order, okay? In the dollar bill behind it is annunc annuit coeptis, novus ordo seclorum, announcing the arrival of a new world order or new order of things. So they're going to bring in a new world order. Order why? Because there's going to be chaos. Order of chaos, order out of chaos. This has all been planned because they knew what was going to happen. They knew this thing was going to take place. So they have incorporated a plan to take advantage of this thing. So when it happens, they're going to know what to do. Yeah.
They're causing part of the chaos. They are initiating the chaos with the crash of the dollar, the crash of the euro. You know, folks, if you don't understand that this has been implemented, this is a strategy, the very fact that we are pumping money, first of all, there's nothing behind our dollar that makes it worth it. It's just the only thing that makes our dollar worth anything is trust. The only thing, it's confidence, as you hear this word, confidence. But the more that they print dollars and they put dollars out there, there's less and less confidence that happens in the world concerning the U.S. dollar. And when confidence is gone, when they say, you know, America's never going to be able to pull back from this, it doesn't matter who's president, the hole's too deep, they can never pay back their debt, they will lose confidence in the dollar, and then our position in the world as far as the world's reserve currency will be gone. And overnight, we will be poor. Overnight.
Well, the banks are going to be closed. The banks are going to be closed for maybe a week, okay? That is why it is wise for people to have some cash in hand and some food, because there's not going to be, I mean, you're not going to have access to your money. You will not have access to your money. It's going to be there. You may never have access to it again, because the records are going to be lost, that they're going to claim that there was a cyber attack, blah, blah, blah. So their records may be gone for good, or maybe not, but it's probably gone for good. And so the money that you have on you, that's going to be it, and it's going to be only for a season. And so the banks are going to be probably shut for a whole week, probably, or more. And during this time is when they're going to usher in their new world order. And it's going to happen within the next several months, Daniel. And the people out there, you need to listen. This is not going to happen 10 years down the road. It's going to happen within the next year.
We are staring down this barrel right now. And you know, Augusto, this is a whole different show. We got to do another show together. Because nowhere in there did I hear you talk about the rapture. And, you know, because I believe that the rapture happens before the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord is the last day. The day of the Lord is God's wrath. You don't want to be here for God's wrath. You don't want to be here for the day of the Lord. That's Armageddon.
No.
but we, you're right. We're going to have to go through these things, and we have to be prepared for them. But I have to do something right now because we're running out of time, and we got about 13 minutes. Dorothy, are you still with us? Are you on the line?
Yes, I'm still here.
Okay. Now, I need a witness. Can I get a witness? Dorothy, what the listeners don't know is that Dorothy Crothers was kind enough to proofread my latest novel. And I'm not tooting my own horn. I want confirmation of what's going on here. Dorothy proofread my latest novel. So she is one of the few people that have read it. The latest novel is called As the Darkness Falls. Dorothy, in your opinion, did Augusto just talk about my novel out of turn? Did he just talk about the whole novel? He gave the whole novel away, didn't he?
I know, right? Shame on you, Augusto.
I haven't read that. I haven't read it.
No, he hasn't read it. He hasn't read the novel.
He hasn't read it, no.
He hasn't read the novel. Dorothy's read it.
Daniel, you are more than a fiction writer. I'm sorry to disappoint you.
No, I'm just God's donkey. I'm Balaam's donkey. That's all I want to be. Just open my mouth when the time is to open my mouth. But the point is, and again, I didn't say that to blow my own horn. I'm telling you that what Augusto is saying, what is going on in the earth, the Holy Spirit is telling his church, I'm a nobody. I'm just a guy. Augusto's just a guy. We're just part of the body. If God is telling us these things, the Holy Spirit can tell you that. The Holy Spirit can tell you where to go, what to do, how to prepare. The same God that talks to us talks to you if you lay on his face at his feet and ask him to talk to you. Repent of your sins. Lay on your face. Become filled with the Spirit and talk to him. That's the whole point of this. Now, Dorothy, the other thing that I wanted to do, and I got to get this in really fast because we got 11 minutes left. Now, and again, it's going to sound like a commercial, but there's a reason why I'm doing this. My website is www.danielholdings.com. DanielHoldings, DanielHoldings.com. Now, on that website, you can get 3 Days in the Belly of the Beast. That was my first book. Much of what Augusto was just talking about as far as these, and Augusto hasn't even read that first book, I don't think, talks about these entities, these interdimensional beings that people come in contact with. The Lord gave me that book when he really showed me the reality of the dimensions that we live in versus the supernatural dimensions that are around us. And it's a very helpful tool for you. And, Dorothy, I did something on a show last week for their listeners, and I want to provide your listeners with the very same code to do this. On my website, if you go to my website and you want to purchase the book off of my website, the book is normally $17.99. If you use this code, you'll get a 30% discount and you'll be able to buy it for $12.60. It's never been that price before. I only did this last week for the other show I was on, and I'm doing this for your listeners now. But the code is Y as in Yankee, M as in Mike, H as in Hotel, Y as in Yankee, G as in Golf, N as in Nancy, U as in Uniform, Y as in Yankee. That's YMHYGNUY. Now, the reason I say that is because it would help if you read that book before you read As the Darkness Falls. Because those things that Augusto is talking about, and it's, you know, if I didn't know that it was the Lord that gave me that book, I would be scared. Because Augusto, the things that you just said are now granted, it's a fictional book. Dorothy's teasing me that I'm not a fictional writer, but it is, it's a fictional book. The Lord gave me that as a story. There it is. But those things that are in the book, and that book won't be out till the end of the month, but those things that are in that book will prepare you, I believe, for the things that are about to come upon the earth, the very same things that Augusto is talking about. So, but I encourage you to read 3 Days in the Belly of the Beast. That's the first book before that book comes out at the end of the month. So that's the end of the commercial, and I did that, Dorothy, because I wanted to be fair to your listeners, just as I did for the listeners I talked to last week. Now, Augusto, you know, we were talking about the necessity of laying at the Lord's feet in order to hear him, in order to commune with him, in order to sup with him. But it all boils down to this. There may be listeners out there, and they're thinking, well, wait a minute, I go to church. You know, I pay my tithes. I'm a good man. I'm a good woman. You know, I'm okay.
No. Actually, there's no one good, Daniel. There's no one good. The Bible is very clear about that. One time a disciple came to Jesus, Yeshua, and he said, you know, good master, and he stopped him cold and said, no, don't call me good. There's no one good, only the Almighty. This is the problem right there. That is the problem, what you just said, that they think they're good. There's no one good. There is nobody good. We are born rebels. We are born sinners into this life, and without salvation, we are destined to end up in the wrong place. And so that is the first fallacy that people have to do away with. Stop, forget about being good, forget about being, everybody is born a sinner. That means unfit. Everybody's born unfit to enter the kingdom of God. That means you're not fit. You're not ready. You have not been processed. You cannot possibly enter there. So there has to be a rearranging of your inner man. That's called the born-again experience. You have to be born again. That means not through the your mother, which you were born through. No, you have to be born of the spirit, of a spiritual DNA. When you're born of the spiritual DNA, then you are born of your father. your Father Almighty. You're born of His DNA. So that is the only way that you are qualified, that you are fit to enter into His presence, into His kingdom. And that is why you need to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Forget about anything. Forget about things that you've done bad. Confess before the Lord. Repent and ask Him to forgive you. He's the only one that can save you. No one else can protect you from any of these things that we've been talking about, Daniel and I have been talking about. Nobody can save you from any of these things. Nobody. Nobody can save you. Another person's experience cannot save you. Even the good things you've done cannot save you. You have to come to Him naked. You have to come to Him vulnerable. And you have to come to Him with a humble, broken heart and say, "Forgive me, Father. I am a sinner. I am not fit to enter into your kingdom. But Lord, save me and wash me in the blood of the Lamb and fill me with your Spirit. And because I need your Spirit, you're going to need the Spirit of the living God to make it through this thing that is coming. Without His Spirit, you're done. You're toast." So, I mean, call upon His name. There are many things in our website there for if you need to be saved, you need to be born again, if you need materials, they're all there at theappearance.com. Just go there, and we have videos there available for you. But you need to get close to the Lord because the times are at hand. They are here. It's not coming in 10 years. It's upon us, people. Wake up. It's upon you. And so I encourage you. I encourage you to be ready. I encourage you to be prepared because the times demand it. Time is run out. Time is running out. So I don't know if this might be the last program we ever do, Daniel. I don't know. It could be. We don't know anymore. Any day now could be the last time that you hear from me and Daniel and Larry and any of these other watchmen that are warning you. So please do not take this for granted. It could happen. It could happen before this program is over, and that's it. We won't have any more opportunities. So make it right and call upon the name of the Lord, and you and your house shall be saved. Praise God.
Praise God. Thank you. So, you know, again, your website is theappearance.com, www.theappearance.com. And, again, I've been on the site, folks. There are tons of useful tools on that site. Visit it and read what Augusto has up there. It's a great tool. Augusto, it looks like we have about 3 minutes left. Is that right, Dorothy, 3 minutes?
Yeah, about 3 minutes. We do have some, you know, we have that hour cushion in the recording. Okay. So,
did any questions come in, Dorothy, while we were doing the program?
No, the only questions you answered, you know, they wanted scripture when you first started talking to back up what you were saying, and you gave them later, so...
Great. Well, I enjoyed doing the program with you, Daniel and Dorothy. As always, it has been a great privilege, a great honor. I pray that the Lord will bring much fruit through our efforts tonight, and that many people will find many of the things that we said to be of encouragement, to be of a revelation, and will help them to draw closer to Him in the coming days as His day is approaching fast. So, God bless you both.
You too. Let's pray before we finish here. Father, we exalt your name.
Amen.
We praise you and we honor you, Lord God. Lord, we thank you for your Son. Lord, we thank you for the blood that He shed. Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit, for the power that you've caused to indwell in us, Lord. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. Lord, we thank you for your direction in this time of confusion, in this time of trouble. We thank you for your peace that surpasses all understanding. Lord, you're a good and gracious God, and we declare that you're our God. We thank you, Lord, that you've led us to be called your children, Lord. And so, Lord, now as we leave these airways, Lord, I ask, Holy Spirit, that you would touch those, Lord, that need your direction, that need your information, that need to hear your voice, that you would touch those that don't know you, that you would draw them closer. We pray for Larry, who couldn't make it tonight, and ask that you would help him to work out his electrical problems. And for Dorothy and for Augusto, Father, we ask your blessings on them as well. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for this time that we've had. Lord, it's been a special time, just a warm time of revelation and truth. And we thank you for the listeners. We ask that you use this word for the betterment of their lives and to make their walk stronger in you, Lord God. We thank you for it. We praise you. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Praise God. Well
thank
God
you,
bless
guys.
You all. Enjoyed it.
You too. You too. Talk to you soon, Augusto. Thanks, Dorothy.
All right.
You're welcome. Thank
God bless you,
guys.
Dorothy.
You're welcome.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, everyone, for coming. See you next time. If you want to know when the next show is, you got to follow us. Father bless. Bye.